It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
One-two pitch. Got him swinging. Strike three. Cam Boozer finishes it off in the ninth. And the White Sox, with their first home win to open the season since 2014, an 8-1 win. Southside, stand up.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Brooke Fletcher. She does a great job on the Chicago Sports Network, and she joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check them out, aturo.com. Brooke, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We have been enjoying the White Sox. A little more offense, please, just to mention it. But, you know, losing 1-0, no. But they won that opener. We just heard it. They feel like a better team. The manager seems like he's got a feel for what's going on. I think a pretty decent start to the season, even though they lost the series.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give a lot of credit to Will Venable and this coaching staff and the way they've been able to kind of mix and match and get guys together. You know, it starts with the pitching and the starting rotation. Sean Burke, Jonathan Cannon, and Davis Martin, they did an outstanding job, didn't give up any earned runs through 17 innings, and they set the tone for this team. And then the bullpen just stepping up. You guys were playing that with Cam Boozer and Penn Murphy. They have been so good. But yeah, we just got to get the offense going. And so, you know, we've seen glimpses, but these guys, they're battling. They're not backing down. And there's positive spirits in that clubhouse.
I think there's respect for Will Venable that was immediate. And maybe it's because he's a former player. Maybe it's because just the way he communicates. But, Brooke.
Maybe it's because he's not Pedro Grifol.
That's maybe too. But a lot of these guys weren't here for Pedro.
You're right.
And they're giving him this kind of instant respect, I think, that is because maybe the credibility that ex-players bring into every clubhouse. But just curious how you would describe it, Brooke, because you hear praise for somebody who's basically managed three games in his career, and I just think it's been interesting to see how quickly people have accepted him as the voice that is worthy of that respect.
You know, and it wasn't an easy circumstance for him to come into, right? Especially his first manager gig, just trying to find his identity and who he wants to be as a manager. But, you know, when I first, the first day of spring training, I've always said this, there's this quiet confidence about him. And when you're talking to every player, I mean, they were like, you could just see the wheels turning. He listens. And I think, and just this is my personal opinion, a good leader is somebody that listens and understands the different personalities in a clubhouse. Some guys might take information differently, you know, than others. And so he praises Will. He praises a lot of what he learned from, you know, Dave Roberts. He has a great relationship with him. Bruce Bochy, arguably two of the best managers in the game right now. And so, you know, just kind of soaking up as much knowledge. And I think, you know, he has this quiet confidence about him. He focuses on communicating, but communicating the right way. And I think players, they really, you know, they receive that well. And you can just see it being carried through. And although they're, you know, we saw it after the first one on opening day. They had a Gatorade shower for him. And, you know, you don't see that often, but that just shows the relationship that he has with them, just creating a positive environment within that clubhouse and how far that can go.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. It's exactly what you were saying earlier that about the pitching. My buddy says, God, someone knows what they're doing with pitching. It's fairly obvious because we didn't know much about these guys. And, you know, Jonathan Cannon had a terrible preseason spring training. I thought he'd be the starter. Now we're going to get to see Martin Perez. He's the guy with experience. We'll see Shane Smith and, of course, Burke again in this series against the hated, dreaded Twins.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've done a great job just assembling that starting rotation, and it took some time. There were a lot of question marks over spring training. All right, how are you going to assemble this group? And it's kind of crazy that, you know, Cannon had probably the most experience besides Martin Perez just within the White Sox. But, you know, Cannon, he had a great outing. He was able to bounce back. Brian Bannister, you know, talked about, you know, elevation out in Arizona and how maybe that can play a role with when it comes to your movement of your pitches here. And he just said, you know, he trusted his process. It was just kind of, you know, finding that rhythm again and getting stretched out. But yeah, I mean, they have a good group. They're young, but I mean, man, these guys, they know how to attack on the mound. And they're also learning from a guy like Martin Perez. You know, they don't have the Garrett Crochet, but Martin, I mean, he's been in this league for, gosh, what, 15 seasons now? And so, you know, it starts with just soaking up as much knowledge from him. He was like, we have the talent here, but you have to believe it. And so my job is, you know, there's no competitiveness within this rotation. It's just instilling, you know, in these guys what it takes to be a big leaguer and just believing that, you know, in yourself and believing that, you know, last year is last year. We can set the tone for this team and this organization, and he's done a great job. I'm excited to see Martin on the bump here today.
Brooke, what do you make of the way that Will Venable has acknowledged that he's playing around with the batting order? Yep. The everyday lineup is going to be in a state of flux. First kind of a trial period, it feels like, the first 3 weeks or so of the season. You see different guys leading off in the first three games, and you're like, okay, well, that's interesting. Well, that's interesting. I just wonder what you think about that approach, how unorthodox it may be, and also who might be somebody that you think fits at the top of that lineup.
Well, Nick Maton did a great job at the top, you know, but that was, he gave credit to the matchup there. They liked how he, you know, handles the sliders and the fastballs there. But, and we'll see, he said, you know, we're going to mix things around. He goes, but my message to the guys, and that starts with great communication, is just telling them, hey, don't look too much into this. And I think when you have a team that's in the state like the White Sox, where you have a lot of new faces, it's going to be kind of by committee. We're seeing it with Brooks Baldwin. You know, he's a switch hitter, but we saw him in right field. We saw him at second. You know, they're going to kind of mix and match here. But I think it starts when you do something like that as a manager, you got to make sure you over communicate. And Will Venable has done a great job. And he said, you know, we're mixing the lineup up, but that's because we're trying to set guys up to succeed. We're trying to get guys involved, see where they fit best. But, you know, one thing that has been consistent, and Ben Attendee and Luis Robert Jr., they've been in that 2-3 spot. So, you know, obviously those guys, they've been attending, man. He's been hitting well, and as well as Robert. So keeping that consistency there, but also just trying to mix some guys around in that lineup to find the best fit.
So the problem that I have with it, Brooke, is that it's difficult to see a guy like Kyle Teal go on a tear down at Triple A.
He's on a tear, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, get the bus and load those guys up and let's go. Like, bring up the Triple A team. Or at least anybody that can hit. You need, if you're hitting a home run in Triple A, if they're scoring 12 runs, my God, that would help.
I know. It's tempting, right? You're looking. I mean, I'm just scrolling through X the other day, and I'm like, geez, Kyle Teal is freaking raking. You know, it's tempting, right, to bring him up. And obviously getting to know him at spring training and hearing about him and his reputation and what he brings to the team, you're like, man, he'd be great. But we have to think long term. We got to be patient. And I think the mindset when you're rebuilding this team and you're trying to build success is there's value in keeping these guys together. And so you have a group of guys that are, you know, at different levels in Birmingham. You have guys that are in Charlotte. And so they're at different places, but there is value in giving these guys the time to build this confidence, build some camaraderie, and finding that right time to strike. Now, I'm not saying that Kyle Teal might not see the bigs this year. We don't know, but you have to think about just the long term here, and that they're really focusing on talking to guys in the front office and within this organization. There is a thought process behind this and keeping these groups together.
Talking with Brooke Fletcher, who is the field reporter for CHSN at the White Sox games, doing a terrific job here on Mullin Haw. So, Brooke, I look at Andrew Vaughn and I see a guy who needs to have a big year. He's off to a slow start, and I wonder how much he's pressing. I know that this is your first season around these guys for a long period of time, but just curious what your first impressions are of Andrew Vaughn, a guy who should be hitting at a higher level, probably knows that, but he still has potential, and yet the production is lacking. What's your impression of Andrew Vaughn?
Yeah, and I think, you know, he got his first hit yesterday and what that can do for your confidence there. But he just told me at spring training, the biggest thing was just working on that timing. And that's something that was a big emphasis for him at the plate and just finding that consistency. But, you know, he also was talking about just his role evolving on that team. And, you know, there's also the mental aspect of this game. And, you know, now him and Luis Robert, they're not just, you know, the young guys on the team. Now they're kind of the ones with the most experience with the White Sox. And so how his role is evolving. And it's funny you even bring that up because I'm planning on kind of diving more into that once I get to the ballpark later and how he feels. But yeah, I think it's just his biggest thing was just timing and just kind of, you know, really just honing in on his approach at the plate.
Get that man a torpedo bat.
Right? Well, we talked to him about the torpedo bat yesterday, and Andrew's just very like straightforward. I'm learning, you know, as I'm getting to know these guys, and he goes, well, it's great and all, and it's impressive to see the Yankees' numbers, but at the same time, you still have to hit the ball. And so he said he's never tried it, but I'm curious how, you know, the weight distribution in the bat and how that can impact your swing.
Right.
We talked to Travis Jankowski yesterday, and he said the Cubs were kind of messing around with something similar, and he just couldn't find that balance point. He wasn't a fan of it, but then he's looking at the production from the Yankees, is like, maybe I should give it a go again, you know? But it is interesting, the buzz surrounding that bat.
Yeah, how do you think that'll go? Because players are reluctant to try new things. At the same time, the Yankees succeeding with, even though Aaron Judge doesn't use it, which is interesting,
it.
But they hit a record number of home runs.
I think he doesn't use it because he wants to preserve his home runs. I'm just saying.
Right.
The bat is legal. They've said it's legal. I don't think he wants the appearance that he's gotten.
But it's nothing wrong with it.
There's
right?
nothing
but,
wrong
I mean,
with
it's
it.
It's within the rules, yeah. So it's fine. But how do you feel about what's happened and where do you think this is headed?
Well, I think the buzz is, you know, going around the league. You're seeing Ryan Jeffers with the Twins. He's been using it some.
Yep.
I need to, you know, see how that's translating with him. But yeah, it's, I mean, players are definitely interested if they're always trying to find ways to get more hits. And I think it's just a comfort thing. You know, the science behind it makes sense. When you move more of the, you know, the mass to the middle of the bat, where the barrel is and to where the logo is, you know, that's where you're trying to make contact. The science behind it makes sense, but I think it's so much of a feel. It depends on the player, and you know, you got to take some swings because it is going to impact your swing and just with weight distribution. So I think it's by committee, but I know a lot of people are like giving it a side eye right now and are like, how is this legal? But teams are definitely paying attention, especially when it's a team like the Yankees and they're producing the way that they are.
David suggested earlier that somebody make it like one of those wiffle ball bats, you know, you're a very thin handle and then the giant. I mean, that would be hilarious to see someone try to go to the plate with one of those.
Oh, I know. Well, and some people, you know, kind of described like the way that it feels. It almost feels like that wiffle ball bat that you used to play with growing up. And so I'm keeping my eye out on if we're going to see it pop up in the White Sox clubhouse. And you guys will be the first to know once I get a feel for it.
Back to the Sox pitching, Brooke, because the starting pitching has been outstanding without giving up an earned run yet in three starts. But what's the commonality, do you think, between the three guys we saw open the season? Sean Burke started out an opening day, was fantastic. Jonathan Cannon, as we said, didn't have a great spring, but rose to the occasion. Yeah. And Davis Martin was in control after not getting great defense in the first inning. Was there a common thread that Ethan Katz looks at connecting all of these guys and it explains their quick starts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the intensity that they bring on the mound and the confidence, I mean, all three of them admitted, you know, it was a little, the nerves got to them, right? When you're usually going to see that in the first outing of the season, but they were able to settle in. And I think just, you know, focusing on quality pitches. And I also, you have to give credit to the defense behind them because, you know, a pitcher's success is based off of his supporting cast. So the defense behind them, they've been great. I know they had a few mishaps to start the game yesterday, and, you know, Will admitted that, but he's been so pleased with those guys and the way that they've been able to step up for these pitchers and allow them to go deeper into games. And then also the catching, you know, the catching has been great. Corey Lee and Matt Theis, they've been great calling the game. And so I just think, you know, with those guys, they're young stars in this league, and I think they've been able to find their confidence, what pitches work well for them. You got the kick change with Davis Martin. That was great yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so just continuing to just build off of that.
Yeah, they're doing a great job with them. I can't wait to see Shane Smith. I just think that's such a great story, such an amazing – you grab a guy, a Rule 5 guy from Milwaukee, and, you know, it's just a fun story. I hope he's good.
He carries himself like a big league. Like, I mean, he is one now, technically. Yep, but when I met him at spring training, he just has this quiet confidence about him. And he was like, I always believed in myself. Like, why go into this spring training where, like, I'm doubting myself, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. But, man, they really like him. He exceeded expectations. Chris Getz was talking about him, and just they're excited to see what he can do. He also can bring some versatility. But, you know, he's a Rule 5 guy. But we also picked up a guy like in Mike Vassell.
Yes.
You know, off of waivers as well. A Rule 5 guy as well. He's also from Massachusetts, along with Sean Burke and Shane Smith. He actually told me he and Shane, they work out together in the offseason. He goes, the last time I spoke to Shane, we were heading to spring training. We were leaving the Northeast. And he goes, now here we are on the same team at a big league ballpark. He goes, we can't stop smiling or laughing. Like, because great. This is the craziest thing ever. So I'm excited to see him on the mound as well.
So, Brooke, we've seen a lot of Cam Boozer already, and his story just begs to be told. I am expecting you to tell it at some point in time. He was a carpenter. Yeah. He walked away from baseball for carpentry, and then he's coming back, and now he's in the White Sox bullpen. And
he could make his own torpedo bat.
Make his own torpedo bat.
Maybe, yeah, maybe we're onto something. Maybe he can, like, make some for the guys here. No, but he's been great. And, you know, I didn't have the biggest opportunity to get to know him at spring training, but because he's just very much in his, like, own world. You can kind of get a feel for that when he takes the mound. He just has this, like, presence about him. But, no, I mean, what an incredible story. And he's been huge, just stepping up for this bullpen alongside Penn Murphy. And there were a lot of questions surrounding this bullpen coming in to this season. I mean, I know we were like kind of in the last few days of spring training, we're like, all right, what are you thinking, especially in the back end? But you got Mike Clevenger stepping up as well. It's really come together pretty nicely. Bryce Wilson in the mix too.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. I think that the manager kind of has a good feel for it. I loved that he went to Clevenger in the opener at a big moment. You know, you gotta understand where the moment is, where the game's decided. And, you know, I know they had a 5-run eighth after that, but that still was a very dangerous time in the eighth inning, and they bring him in. It's nice to get a feel for the fact that they know what they're doing a little bit. You know, I hate to say it that way because it seems like I'm insulting other people, but it's really different, and it was great to see on that opener.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the biggest concern, right? When you have a whole new, you know, guys on the coaching staff and all new players are like, okay, well, what's the identity of this team? Do they know what they're doing? And I think that's been the biggest, it's brought us some clarity there that these guys, they know what they're doing, and there at least is a sense of direction in which they want to go. And you got to give Chris Getz in that front office credit as well. I think that, you know, they're making sure that they're striking at the right time. They're doing their best with what they have. They're trying to be smart. They're trying to be economical. And just to set this organization up to really succeed in the near future. We're not that far off.
Yeah, none of the young studs made the team, right?
Right. I mean,
everybody's kind of down scoring 12 runs in Charlotte.
Yeah, driving up the batting average in AAA. So Brooke,
yeah, I mean they're raking,
raking. So before we let you go, the most important question I had for you was, how were you able to focus on your job as Auburn was dispatching Michigan State yesterday? your alma mater going to the Final Four, it has to be had to be quite distracting for you yesterday.
Well, I was purposely not trying to look at the score, and then Connor McKnight, he's on the crew as well, he came up to me and he goes, do you want me to tell you the score or do you not? I go, you can't set me up like that, because I'm taking that as like we're down. But he goes, no, it's a good thing. And so I watched the tail end right before I was going to go back to interview Will Venable here. But, you know, I made two brackets, guys. I made one with Auburn winning. I led with my heart. And then I made another one with actually Florida winning. I went with my head there. So I'm a little conflicted at this moment because I'm in a pool with my family. And if Auburn makes it all the way, I lose the pool with my family. So
that's hysterical. That's hysterical. Yeah.
How did I end up here? But obviously I want Auburn to win.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun. That group, Broom, Pettiford, like they've been that 1-2 punch. Like they've been great.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Brooke. Really appreciate it.
Doing a great job. Thank you, Brooke.
Yep.
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
That's Brooke Fletcher. She does a wonderful job. I love kind of the way she gets to know these guys and you hear the stories behind it. And you're right.
It's happened quickly,
amazing
too.
Amazing stories.
Yeah, there's some great stories in Sox camp.
Wasn't
she was
Jesus
at spring training.
Carpenter? Wasn't he trained as a Was that just his dad? Just saying.
Did you say Jesus was a carpenter?
I did.
Who are you? The Auburn basketball team? They're calling God all the time. Now you're talking about Jesus of the carpenter. What kind of show has this become?
All right. We'll be back, whatever it is. Mully and Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
And the pitch. A little one-hopper towards short. Tough play for Swanson. No play. And now Dansby's going to get a man in a rundown. And he tags him out. Dansby Swanson. Great play. Dansby Swanson fielded that little nubber on one hop. He bluffed a throw to first. And the runner, Hampson, rounded the third base bag. Dansby ran right at him, and there was nothing Hampson could do. He tried to dive back in. Dansby tagged him out on one of the more bizarre final plays of a ballgame run that you will ever see.
And that is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What a great reaction that was.
That was a very clever heads-up play.
Clever is the right word for it. Yeah. Also, the fist pump was like everybody watching had the same sort of response.
I agree.
That was one of those games you felt like they had to have.
And they...
they went out and got.
They held it. They held on to it, right? They were up, 4-1?
Yeah, they clung.
You know, come on now, finish it.
Suarez says it's another home run to put things in jeopardy and doubt. And then Dansby with the play of the day, and he was just smarter than everybody else. And that's what you get when you get a gold glove shortstop. Didn't lead to anything on Sunday. There was no momentum.
No, there is no momentum in baseball.
I guess not.
Momentum is the next day's starting pitcher.
Tonight, we've got the Cubs back in action in Sacramento against the A's. Do not call them the Oakland A's. They're the Sacramento A's.
We should also, I mentioned, we talked to Brooke Fletcher, and she mentioned she's got, I love this, by the way, that she's got an entry into the tournament bracket with her family where she went against her team and took Florida, which I think is just hilarious. She needs her school to lose in order to win her bracket with the family. I love stuff like that. And we should let you know the tournament down to the final four teams. College Hoops coverage on The Score is brought to you by Bet365.
So somebody has to help us out with this little nugget we got texted in. Mm-hmm. This is unrelated to sports, but does not run related to the show. There's a movie that has your voice in it. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of it.
Is it our show? What's the deal?
I mean, as you know, I've been in the movies before.
you have.
I am in
It's
that,
classic.
Yeah,
The Fugitive.
They had the cover of the Sun-Times. They used the story about the guy that hit the $1 million shot. Mm-hmm. I was there that day, and if you can stop the movie, you'll see I'm sharing a byline with Lacey Banks on that story.
How many times have you stopped that movie at that point?
I at one point had just broken it, so you plugged it in, and it came up on the frozen screen. No, I'm totally joking. I've shown it to my wife and children.
The movie is a working man.
This new movie.
Yeah, the new movie.
It's a Jason Statham movie. Mm-hmm. So apparently, it's like the guy who directed Beekeeper. I don't know if you saw Beekeeper. It's just like one of these over-the-top, ridiculous action films. This one, same director. It's called working man. And we are told now there's like at least four texters have already seen the movie. I think it just came out. And they claim that there's one scene where we're on in the background.
Is it set in Chicago?
I didn't know.
See, if we were going to be part of some film or television production, would like to know about it, but it would be fun to know about. Also, I would be hopeful that it would be like Chicago PD.
Well,
I would like to be in Chicago PD.
That's fair.
I don't have any qualms in acknowledging that. It would be great to be in Chicago PD in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the show, whether it's us, whether it's...
Can we go to the bar with Dave?
I would love that. Bring Wani along. He was in Chicago Fire.
Okay, sorry.
He was in Chicago Fire.
We should do the Chicago...
Different show.
Police one.
The Chicago PD.
Like, they have to break into... they have to, like, come in and rouse some people in a bar, only it's Coach Wanstead with you and I having a beer.
That would be great. I would love that.
I think
it's
we'll
part of the crowd scene. That would be terrific.
I told you, I had COVID and I missed some time. And I was trying to catch up on Chicago PD is a good show. Mm-hmm. And I do occasionally watch it. And I told you, I love when they go from neighborhood to neighborhood and trying to identify where they're at. And they, like, it's, I think it's awesome when I see them, like, driving past Dan Ryan Woods, and then all of a sudden there's the stadium.
But
like,
the inconsistencies
I live for it. No, they're fewer.
They're fewer.
When it started out, it was kind of crazy.
Tell that to Hank Voigt. Hank Voigt will make
he'll,
you
he'll take me downstairs.
Regret that. He'll take
That's
you
right.
downstairs.
Yeah.
He'll teach you a lesson.
Keep me off camera.
As only he can.
But they did this show in our building where it's all three of the series. And we were looking out the window at the, you know, fire they had going and all this stuff.
The mist that was in there.
It was crazy. So I watched all three of them. I watched the whole sequence and saw all this different stuff from this building, which is so super fun and cool.
It's very funny. It's very cool. But nonetheless,
I got to go see the.
We're going to have to see a working man figure out if that is indeed your voice, our voice, our show, whatever it is the case. And
super cool.
Figure it out. Okay, so other things we kind of have skipped over a little bit. Did you see the big fight between the T-Wolves and the Pistons?
That was kind of crazy.
Very unfortunate.
That was an old fight, right? When something came up again. Some kind of thing like that, but they threw out like
seven were ejected, two coaches, five players.
It was
in Minneapolis, so it wasn't the Malice at the Palace.
Okay,
it wasn't.
Wow. That's the worst one ever, isn't it?
That may be the worst one ever.
Yeah,
but five players and two coaches. It got out of hand, and one of the coaches, Detroit, lost their head coach, JB Bickerstaff.
Yes,
and he didn't sound like he was very remorseful afterward. He was like, "That's what happens when our guys stick up for each other. We have guys who that's in our lock." He says, "Here's his quote." Bickerstaff says, "Obviously, things went too far, but what you see is guys looking out for one another, guys protecting one another, guys trying to have each other's backs. Those are non-negotiables in our locker room." That's not I'm sorry.
That's if you want a little of this and some of that, come on.
12 technical fouls, the most in an NBA game in 20 years.
Wow.
12 technical fouls.
That's a lot.
It's just crazy.
It's a lot of techs.
So, here's another news bit today. Breaking news on the Score. It's not a huge story, but Breaking News on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories for Molly and others.
Delicious.
So
it's the word.
It is delicious. I love the strawberry rhubarb pie.
I love a steak.
We could use that too. What time is it?
You know what I love is like the piece of fish. They have this beautiful halibut with
it's excellent fish.
Macadamia.
They have everything that's excellent.
Halibut.
It's so good that it's distracting when you have it as a sponsor for Breaking News.
Because all we do is talk about the food.
You can't get to the Breaking News.
I agree. I'm sorry.
So it's less breaking now. Now it's old news.
Yeah, here's the old news. Sorry.
Stanford is hiring Frank Reich as their interim head coach.
Are they really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
He's going to the college game.
Interesting pivot for him at this stage.
In this stage in his life. Hmm. Good coach.
You think Andrew Luck being the GM has anything to do with that hire? Just kind of throwing that out there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Is he the GM there?
Yeah,
he's the GM.
He needs to stabilize. They fired Troy Taylor after He was fired for basically he had bullied and belittled female athletic staffers during two seasons as Stanford's head coach. So he had to go. He had to go. Troy Taylor, no longer the Stanford head coach, and replaced by Frank Reich.
That's so wild.
Why interim, though? Like, aren't they far enough or not far enough into the offseason to where they could put permanent head coach on?
Well, I think probably interim means give us a year.
Yeah.
And we'll reevaluate.
Right. I think he'll be there a year.
Get us through the spring football phase. I don't think he's going to relinquish it before the season. He'll probably go a season, see how it goes.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Probably wants to commit a season. Live in Palo Alto for a year. There are worse places to spend a year.
I mean, as long as you're provided with enough capital to to live there.
True.
I mean, that's a very expensive part of the country.
Very expensive part of the country, but it's a beautiful city.
I agree.
Great. I love Palo Alto. I love that part of California.
I totally agree. Stanford is just absolutely gorgeous.
Northern California, Southern California, awesome.
That's a beautiful
Sacramento
part of the country. Not far from, you can drive into San Francisco and have a good meal if you wish to. It's beautiful. But that's
San Jose, that's too. You're close to San Jose.
You're right next
San Jose is very quaint.
You can fly in and out of San
Jose. It's quaint. You go to the Shark Tank, see some good hockey.
Oh, boy.
I've seen some good hockey at the Shark Tank over the years.
You think that's why he took it?
No, I don't think so. I think he likes a challenge. Football coaches, you know, his last go-around wasn't so great.
Right.
So he probably would like to finish his career on a pretty high note. And that's a great atmosphere for college athletics.
Fantastic.
And if you get the chance to work with Andrew Luck again, that would be really appealing as well.
Can he play still?
No, he can't.
That would solve
he's lost his NFL. He looks like he's not been
He kind of was done.
Conditioning.
I mean, he had to write all those, like, Civil War letters. It's just exhausting.
I'm getting corrected on the text line. It's not the Sacramento A's. It's just the A's are athletics. They don't want to be known as Sacramento A's.
Did I say that? You've said that about 10 times today.
I said they're in Sacramento. They're playing the A's.
Yes. Sactown.
This won't be the last time that gets brought up either, I don't think.
Yeah. Tomorrow, we're going to have the same sort of conversation.
After the game in Sactown?
207. Here we go. I went to the movie The Working Man last night and heard a clip from the Mullen Haw Show. Rob Heartland, Maine.
Oh, my.
Rob Heartland in Maine? You're listening in Maine?
God bless
We're big in Maine?
We are, we're known for our love of lobster.
Thank you, Rob.
I think that's the connection.
That's very interesting. You like the lobster. I'm like the crab. I like the crab five.
Yeah, the crab five.
Crab five. I can't eat either.
Including your favorite sports announcer. Honorary member of the Crab Five.
That's not my favorite. I didn't book him.
Oh, that's right. Wonder Grump.
Wonder Grump booked him.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have been against my wishes or against my advice.
I think we get Man Cow next week.
That's awesome. Let's get it. Bring him on. Listen, after that, could it get much worse?
Oh, my God. Anyone Dustin has worked for.
Dustin's got the week off.
He is. He's not on suspension for that's not true.
We're forging ahead, regardless.
He's just taking a week off.
Tyler Ferengul has done a terrific job.
Yes.
And certainly Alex Kuhn is the MVP. As usual.
Yes, always.
Alex Kuhn was in here Saturday for Inside the Clubhouse.
Wow, above and beyond MVP.
He was, getting ready.
Yeah.
Already talking, already planning for Monday's show.
Beautiful.
That's how far ahead he was looking.
He's a good man.
48 hours out, he was already concerned with doing the job.
He does a great job.
Filling Dustin's shoes.
Thank you, buddy.
Wanted to get some other stuff, but we ran out of time.
What else did you want to get?
Tomorrow I want to talk about...
I want to get into that,
too. Brian Bannister was a guest on Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday. We want to talk to him about... We heard from him about the Tommy John surgeries and their approach to pitching, which is good to explore tomorrow.
I, honest to God, my one takeaway from the start of the Sox season is that he does know what he's doing. He seems like he really knows what he's doing.
Well, these guys, the first three we've seen, small sample size, they know how to pitch.
Yeah, they're creating pitchers, not
It appears that
throwers.
Way. These are guys
because the throwers are all head surgery.
And Davis Martin is a guy that has a wide array of pitches, but he's a pitcher. He's not a thrower, right?
Yes, exactly.
And
right.
So,
no question.
You like to see a guy like that coming back from the injuries he persevered through, and just overcoming it and trying to give himself a chance to have a career. And he's done that.
And listen, we're going to be giving away something special, the Jordan Davis Ain't Enough Road Tour, with special guests Mitchell Tenpenny and Vincent Mason, your guy. And they will be Friday, October 10th at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. We're going to be giving you – should we give it away now or should we wait? Let's do it. Let's give it away.
Let's do it now.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. But the giveaway, just so you know, you want tickets right now, you can get them. They're free. Just be caller 6. How do you figure that out? 312-540-0670.
I think you got the 6.
I think you just, but I know how we figure it out. Okay. But how do you ensure that you're the 6th caller?
It's chance. It's a game of chance.
Okay. 312-540-0670. Do you wait 30 seconds
go
and
now.
Go?
No,
just
go now.
Go now. Go now. You'll be the 6th caller and you'll win tickets to the Jordan Davis Ain't Enough Road Tour with special guests Mitchell Tenpenny and, of course, David's guy, Vincent Mason. So that's fun stuff.
Don't know how he's my guy, but I'll take him.
You've been assigned him.
All right.
He's now your guy. Good guy. Great stuff. Really fun. I hope everyone enjoys it.
So we have Transition coming up.
Yes, we're going to get to Transition right now. Transition on 670 The Score, brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. Get the vehicle you deserve at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. Do that now. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Lobster tail.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.